Hello everyone, it is me, Anna. Welcome to the 22nd episode of my podcast, Your Favorite Young Adult Bookworm. This week's episode is on Wicked by Jennifer L. Armentrout. It is the first book out of a trilogy. Before diving into this episode, a kind reminder to please rate, share, and subscribe to my podcast. It will really help me out to reach more young adult bookworms. You can also find me on Instagram at Your Favorite Young Adult Bookworm, just like the title of this show. Now, time to talk about the book. The story is narrated by Ivy, a 22-year-old living in New Orleans. She's a college student during the day, but during the night, she is a fae hunter. It's really similar to the Shadowhunters concept if you're familiar with those series, but here they just hunt fae people. She's part of this secret order called the Order. Just like the Shadowhunters, and just like them, you need to be born in it to be part of it. And well, as any good main character, she has a beautiful best friend unlike her. Ivy has curly hair, bright blue eyes, and a curvy body. And well, this just means she doesn't consider herself pretty. She suffers so much, the poor baby. And well, of course, since she is unlike other girls, she goes to college. No one her age in the order goes to college, since they are fae hunters and like their job pays quite well. And there's no point really, because either way, they tend to die young. So like, people are like, why study if I'm gonna die really young? So what's the point? And well, of course, like any other cliche main character, she has a tragic past. Her parents died when she was a baby, and she was adopted by a couple of the Order. I swear, guys, the similitudes to the Shadowhunters are gigantic. But her adoptive parents are also dead. They died 3 years ago, as well as her best friend and first love. And well, they died because of her. So the Fae Hunters have on them like a lucky charm, I believe a clover with four leaves that they are not supposed to remove, since it allows them to see through the Fae glamours, meaning they can't be glamoured. And our girl Ivy removed her ring to go on a date with her BF and the lover Fae of the Fae she had killed like 2 nights previously, glamoured her, so like she glamoured Ivy and basically killed her parents and boyfriend. And because of this, she is traumatized. She has not been with another guy ever since. And she says she doesn't want to let anyone in because everyone she has ever loved had been taken away from her. You know, the basic storyline. And well, the Fae are able to keep their immortality because they feed on people and they make them basically their slaves by glamouring them. As you can see, they're pretty evil, and that's why they're fighting them and stuff like that. The only people she has let in ever since are her BFF Val and Tink, a brownie she saved when she arrived in New Orleans and now lives with her at her place. She was supposed to kill it, since they are supposed to kill all the beings from the other world, but her instinct told her not to. So now she has it hidden in her house. I think Tink is one of my favorite characters. He is really funny. And if you do not know what a brownie is, I recommend you to go check out the trailer of the movie based on this book. But if not, it is like a little fairyman, and well, he dresses in Ken clothes, which I found really funny. Why? I do not know, but it made me laugh so much. I have no idea why. I just find it super funny. And now that I've explained how this world works, I am finally diving into the story plot. So Ivy is on duty one night. She chases a fae man, tackles him down, and stakes his heart with an iron stake, and he's sent to the other world. They either have to do this or cut their heads off to send them back, but I think when they cut their heads off, they are like dead. But well, this guy manages to say some last words before dying, and those being, he is coming. I swear, guys, this is so cliche, I can't. And I don't mind cliches, but here they are way too obvious. But well, as she stands up, another fae comes behind her. But this one is different. He has light blue eyes, as the all the other fae people, but his skin is not translucent white, but more like olive. He makes a gun appear out of the thin air in his hand, and he shoots her. Ivy then runs before she gets killed and arrives at the Order's lair. She arrives there, and she was going to go upstairs to the doctor's office, but she collapses on the stairs. She kind of passes out a little, and then she's woken up a little bit later by this extremely handsome guy with the most beautiful emerald green eyes. For the first time after her boyfriend died, she feels attracted by a guy. And well, this is, she's so captivated by his eyes that she kind of doesn't listen to what he's telling her. And he's like, are you gonna keep staring? And she's like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing. Get over yourself, Ivy. And they exchange some quirky comments because they are both quirky. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't with you guys. Please stop being so cliche. It hurts my eyes. And well, this guy calls her Merida, like the Disney princess, because of her red hair. And she's so offended because Merida's hair is a mess. And she's also so surprised he knows about Disney princesses. And I was like, oh my gosh, cringe. And well, this continues like that until she passes out again because they completely forgot she like has like a bullet in her body. But whatever, who cares about that, right? When you are staring at this hottie, like, why care about, oh yeah, I got shot? No, let's just keep staring at this hottie. The next morning, David, the head of the order, who Ivy sees as a father figure, asks her what happened. He kind of says like, oh my gosh, was it an ancient? And then he's like, no way, you must have hit your head. That, like, that's impossible. But of course, we all know it. Like, he's like the fake guy was an ancient. Thank you so much. But well, he tells her she's out of duty until next week, so she has time to heal. She goes back home. Tink was super stressed about her. He thought she died, but now that she's back, he bugs her just as Val has done since the beginning of the book on how much she needs to get laid. And I was like, let's calm down. And can we stop pressuring girls on having sex? If she does not want to have sex, it is her body, her choice. If she's not ready to be intimate with others, she's not ready. Let her be. But well, there we also know that Tink is a big addict of mainstream TV and loves spending Ivy's money on Amazon Prime, which was quite funny. He also has the biggest collection in his room of small plushy trolls that he sometimes leaves around the house in random places, and Ivy's really weirded out by it. And sincerely, I will too. And well, after that, of course, her main girl, Ivy, does not follow the rules. She goes out. She says she's fine now. And I was like, this bitch, I swear she had to be the main character. She goes out to investigate. She enters a bar. She suspects sells drinks to the Fae. She sees one of her colleagues there, whose name is Trent, by the way. She tells him what she saw, even when David told her not to tell anyone. And she then punches Trent since he was an asshole to her and made a sexist comment because the older members tend to be sexist. And well, off she goes and she ends up meeting with Ren. I believe they see another ancient, or they talk about ancients, and Ren is like flirty with her, and she's like, I can't help drooling about his sexy green eyes, his arm tattoo, and his sexy abs, but I shall not feel like this. I can't let myself feel this way again. You know, the usual annoying main character speech. The next day, there is a meeting with all the members except Ivy, since David is pissed, she told Trent, and Trent told everyone. So they all think she's crazy, they don't believe in the ancients, and Ivy expects Ren to back her up, but he doesn't, so she feels hurt, but she knows she shouldn't. After all, they are strangers. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? Can you stop being so cliche for a second? But well, David decides to pair her with Ren to show him around since he's a new transfer to the city. She's pissed by this, but it's a direct order. I swear this is the most cliche book ever. And well, that night she's sleeping safe and sound, and then she wakes up and there's this soft, warm thing next to her. It is Ren. She is freaked out since he entered her apartment without any warning and entered her room. She attacks him, but he's stronger and faster, and he pins her down in her bed, and she's so angry. And I was like, Oh my gosh, guys, stop it. I can't with the level of cliche. And well, he tells her he tried to call, but she did not pick up because it was the middle of the night. And she's like, so you decided to trespass? And he's like, I needed to talk with you. And I was like, obsessive much? And while they were struggling and kind of fighting, but also flirting, Tink arrives with a pen ready to hit Ren in his like head. Ivy tells him with her face no. He leaves and then he returns with war paint on his face and like a toy gun ready to fight Ren. And I swear I was laughing at this so much. Tink is hilarious. Like, he went to put on makeup for the drama of it. I love him. And well, Ivy shakes her head again, so like Tink leaves for good this time. She knows Ren will kill Tink if he sees him. Eventually, after she gives in fighting Ren, she agrees to go out for a midnight snack with him, so they talk. Ren confesses he's part of the Elite, a secret organization within the secret organization. And this organization hunts down ancients. Ren tells her he was sent here because there are several ancients in New Orleans. Ivy wants Ren to tell David, but Ren says no. She can tell him, but like, so she can tell David, but it will make him think she's crazier than he already thinks. So she's like, well, I guess I can tell anybody. Ren also tells her he told her because she's supposed to show him around, but he already knows the city, so there's no need. But he has a job to do, so she can follow him while he figures out what are the ancients up to. Ivy's like, fine, I guess I can help. But she still says she does not trust him, but she low-key does. She's only lying to herself at this point, like. And well, the next evening they go investigating close to a nightclub. They spot some ancients. Ivy wants to jump into action, but Ren is like, not yet. Besides, you can kill them. You do not have the training nor the special stake that can send them back. And well, she calms herself down, but she's super close to Ren and she gets lost in his eyes. And then she feels so embarrassed when he asks her why she hasn't let go of his shirt. And I was like, this is just embarrassing, Ivy. Please stop doing this kind of stuff because it is so cringy. I am not sure if it is the same night, but there were some normal fairies outside the club. Ren goes into action and tells Ivy, who is still injured, to not meddle. But of course, she did not give a shit and meddled. It is not like she's part of this elite, he is part of this elite, meaning he couldn't handle three normal fae. She needed to meddle and prove she's cool too. Stupid girl. She kills one of them, but not before he hits her where she got shot like 3 days ago. Ren goes like, I told you not to meddle. Let me see your injury. She lifts the corner of her shirt and of course the touch of his fingers in her belly made her go into a trance once again, making Ren be like, you good. And she's so embarrassed after this. And well, I just want to mention that after being shot and hit in the same spot, she was not in that much pain. Suspicious, isn't it? And did I mention she keeps mentioning her bright light blue eyes? It was just the beginning and I already knew what was gonna happen. And well, a few days go by and then David calls on a meeting. Trent was found dead. It is the fifth person in a couple of months. Death in this job is common, but not so many in such a short time. David decided everyone is going to be paired up to be on duty. And of course, Ivy is paired with Ren. Of course. So now they're buddies, kinda. Ren also told her the ancients are probably looking for the door to open it. There are some doors around the world that connect the Fae world with our world, and only the guardians of the doors know where the doors are. Ivy kind of feels the crazy lady ex-member of the Order knows where it is. She called her daughter, a member of the Order, to see if she could visit her, but they were out of town, so this has to wait. Also, Ivy at some point tells Val everything Ren told her because she needed to confide in someone. Good thing she said she was gonna keep all his secrets. Val believes her, and she gets a little bit anxious by this news. Ivy does not tell Ren she told Val, though. And she did not tell him about the crazy lady either, because she is not sure if she can trust him. There is another scene with her human friend, Joanne, where she confesses she likes Ren. Joanne is kind of useless in this story, to be honest. She's kind of the Heather to Grace from the Crave series. Go listen to my episodes on those books if you haven't. And well, Joanne inspires her to let herself have feelings for Ren. Also, what the hell with Val? Isn't she her bestie? Now she's too busy. So she has to confide in Joanne. Now that everything seems to be out of order, Val is too busy. Suspicious, isn't it? I swear, guys, the plot twists were so predictable, I can't. And well, another day, Ivy and Ren plan on infiltrating the nightclub Lux. To see if they manage to get some information about the ancient's plans. She wears this short black dress she had never worn. It is so short and she shows so much cleavage. She kind of feels weird. She's not used to wearing these clothes. She's not like the other girls. And well, she puts on makeup and everything, and once again she brings her bright light blue eyes up with like my makeup, like makes my eyes more like bright. And I was like, bruh. And well, Tink comes while she's getting ready and he's like, you are going on a date? And she's like, no, I am on duty. And he's like, this is a date, stop lying to herself. And she's like, of course not, Tink, this is professional, there's nothing between us. And Tink was like, yeah, sure, I will criticize her on this, but who am I kidding? I do those kind of things too, so I will refrain from uttering those words because I don't want my friends who listen to my podcast to call me out. And of course, when Ren comes to pick her up, he is amazed by her beauty. And as he's drooling for her, she's drooling for him. But she's still fighting this attraction she has for him. Even though when she did dirty stuff by herself, she was thinking about him. Just saying, you know. And then Ren asks her, where is she hiding her weapon since she's wearing such a short dress? And to this, she shows him the strap in her leg with a stake. And he's like, you're going to be such a distraction at the club. And I was like, ew, man. And well, at the nightclub, they spot the ancient who shot Ivy. And they panic a little since they know if the ancient spots them, they are going to be busted. So they proceed to blend with the crowd. And to do this, they start to dance pretty close. And it gets intense real quick. And I was like, holy shit, because Mr. Beautiful Eyes doesn't seem to care. There's a crowd and his hands start exploring down there. And she's too carried away by this. And in the moment. And I was like, good thing you guys are professional. But eventually Ivy snaps out of it and goes like, we are in mission. And I was like, finally, someone has common sense here. They separate, Ren goes to the bar, and Ivy goes close to where the other ancients were hanging. And then this fae comes close to her. He's about to feed on her, and she can't stop him because they are surrounded by fae. So she's kinda in this horrible situation, and then the fire alarm goes off. She legit gets saved by the bell that, of course, Ren set off. And well, they escape, and then they have a heated makeout session. And well, some days go by, Ivy manages to get to talk with the crazy lady whose name I just remember, so Merely. She takes Ren with her. She recognizes him because apparently she knows his parents. She knows about the elite too. She tells him he needs to close the door and to kill who he came to kill before losing sanity again. She has some sane moments from time to time, and Merely also insults Val, who was not there, but she tells Ivy good thing she brought a handsome man instead of that Val. And well, that just added to the list of suspicious things regarding Val, just saying. And well, after the talk with Merlee, Ivy confronts Ren, who tells her he's also on the hunt for a halfling, a half fae and half human, because there's this prophecy of a fae prince crossing the door and having a child with the halfling bringing the apocalypse. Ren explains that halflings are normally members of the order because humans need to have consensual sex with a fae to make a baby, so someone who can be glamoured. He also tells her the halflings tend to be stronger than humans and they normally are adopted by other order members. And she's like, I was adopted. And the dude is like, yeah, but it is not you because it seems your true parents loved each other a lot. And I was like, bro, you know that is not how life works, right? So he discards her right away without even testing her blood. So if he cuts her with a special steak for ancients and her blood boils, she's a halfling. But the dude decides on skipping this test because if her parents loved each other, then she could not be one. And I was just like, she's one. Come on. She recovered from the gunshot in like 2 days and her eyes are light blue like the fae people. Like, this is just embarrassing. Good thing he's part of the elite. Now, please bear with me because I am skipping parts, so this episode is not enormous, and I am pretty sure I will be messing around with the timeline, but I read this book 2 weeks ago, and there have been a lot of things going on in my life right now, so the story is kind of foggy in my head, so please bear with me. So I do not know how this happens, but Ivy confronts Tink, who tells her about his people and how they have been endangering themselves to close the doors to the other world from inside, and that he failed and there is still one open in New Orleans. And that's how he ended up in like the human world. Ivy is all angry he did not tell her all this, but Tink was like, you did not ask. Later on, Val cancels on her and she goes out with Ren instead. And well, these two have a lot of fun in the sheets. Then Ivy confronts David without telling Ren she was going to do so. And well, Val was there too, so she tells them all about the other door because, oh yeah, Tink tells him like there's two doors in New Orleans. She omits how she got to know about this and tells David they need to guard this other door before the equinox because the ancients are up to something. Ren backs her up. David is like, okay, fine then. And well, at some point, Ivy sleeps over at Ren's. And yeah, if you were wondering, they did dirty stuff, of course. And yeah, this is a new adult and not a young adult, so you know what kind of stuff they did. But I must say something. So she wakes up to him touching her, and I was really bothered by this. I know many people might find it cute or something, but I was like, where is the consent here? She was sleeping. I do not know. I am not a fan of this Ren boy. I feel consent is really important, and no clear consent is a big no-no for me. But Ivy does not see it like that, and well, they do stuff, and then she panics because she's letting herself feel stuff for him, and this is wrong. She panics and leaves and tells him last night and this morning was a mistake. You know, the usual main character speech when they have their doubts about letting in someone like that again. She goes back home, then there's this meeting with David where he tells them half the people are going to guard one door and the other half they're gonna guard the other door, of course. Ivy is put in the active door with Ren and Val and a bunch of other people. Ren tries to talk with her after the meeting, but she's like, I stand on what I said this morning. And he's like, Ivy, talk to me. And all this time I was like, guys, you know each other for like 2 weeks and you're having this major love drama. Like, chill. You both go and take a chill pill, please. And well, she ignores him and goes back home. She wanted to hang with Val, but she says she wants to visit her family. David told them to spend time with loved ones because tomorrow was the equinox and well, they might not survive, you know? Ivy goes back home, but she's still in bad terms with Tink, so she just goes to cry in her room. And then she's like, fuck it, I am going to go to Ren. And then there's this knock on the door. It is, of course, Ren. He's outside her house, drenched by the rain. I swear, guys, this book is so damn cliche. And well, they have their little cute mom in there. Ivy tells him about what happened to her foster parents and dead boyfriend. Ren tells her about his BFF who ended up being a halfling and killed, and he did nothing to stop it. This foreshadowing once again. She is a halfling, but whatever. And well, she takes her to his, like, well, she takes him actually to her bedroom, and they have fun there, even if he did not bring condoms, because she is on the pill. She never stopped taking her pill. But, and well, you might be wondering, why did I include this useless piece of information? Well, the author put some emphasis since the beginning of the book on that she takes the pill every single day. She mentioned quite a few times, just as the hot pink of Grace in the Crave series. Completely useless information that we kept, like, being reminded of. And well, after getting down to business during the night, when they wake up, they go for another round. And this was like 60 pages before the end of the book. And I was like, isn't like a battle supposed to be like soon? There are only 60 pages left. But well, Ren then decides to make breakfast for Ivy, who forgot she has an unusual roommate. She then hears Ting scream and goes out. Ren is about to kill poor Ting, who is low-key traumatized by this big-ass naked man in the kitchen. Ivy explains Ting is good. Ren calms down and they have breakfast together as a happy family. Later on that day, Ting tells Ivy not to go, but she's like, it is my duty, and then she leaves. She arrives at the haunted house where the door was, all the others were already there, and well, there is a bunch of fae coming in trying to open the door that can only be opened with the blood of an ancient spilled on it. They are all battling, and then Val comes close to the door with an ancient, she makes him bleed and opens the freaking door. Ivy sees this in like slow motion. She can't believe her eyes. Val is the person they had from the inside. So the fae people had from the inside of like the order, who was working with the fae. And well, she feels betrayed, of course. And I forgot to mention, but they like, so like they knew there was somebody from like inside like the order who was working against them, but Ivy never thought it was Val. I knew it though, it was so obvious. But well, the door opens thanks to Val. The fae prince comes out of it with a bunch of other fae, like, warriors and, like, important people, you know, like, strong fae. And they leave the haunted house guided by Val. And, like, the order members, like, they don't fight. They are, like, too tired to try to stop them. But Ivy, out of anger, she goes follows Val by herself, of course, and she goes to the lair because she knows Val is gonna be there, like the order lair, and she goes there. There she sees Val stealing something she was going to talk with her and like discuss, but Val is like, yeah, sorry, not sorry, and she disappears. She's left alone with the fae prince, who tells her to just leave since he feels merciful. But of course, she does not do that. She pulls out the special stake to kill ancients that Ren recently gifted her. But she doesn't have the training, so the prince is killing her. She's bleeding a lot. He comes close to her, he tastes her blood, and he makes a shocking face and goes like, fuck. He murmurs something, but puts his hands on her chest, and then there's this light, and then she like loses consciousness. And well, the next thing we know, she wakes up in a hospital. Ren is right next to her. He tells her how lucky she is. She survived, and she's like, yeah. So, and well, so, like, she says, yeah, because, like, she low-key knows the prince low-key saved her. And, well, so, apparently, there is no sign of Val. That's what Ren tells her. Nor the Fae Prince. They are working on that. She is then sent home, where Tink and Ren alternate to take care of her. And then, once a day, Ren is on duty, and she stays by herself. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I think I am a halfling. So, she takes this stay. And is about to, like, the special steak, and is about to cut herself to see if she is one. And Tink arrives, and he's like, don't do it. And Ivy's like, the prince said I am a halfling. And he's like, yeah, just don't do it. But she does, and her blood boils, and she tells Tink, you knew it. And he's like, sorry. And well, this was supposed to be a cliffhanger, big ass plot twist, but it was not. It was so damn predictable. But well. Now, time for my overall opinion. As mentioned during the entire episode, I found this book quite predictable. It was so cliche. I saw all the plot twists coming. I was never surprised. I got to learn this author through her Luke Saga books, and I remember I really liked them, so I kinda was really disappointed with this book. Now, the characters. Ivy, she is the basic main character. Tragic recent story, she falls for the new dude, and then she realizes she is indeed, unlike the other girls, she is special. So cliche. Ren, he's basically the basic male character too. He's supposed to be like funny, like quirky, but I found him more annoying than quirky. And to the non-concerned part I mentioned, for me it's a big red flag, a big no-no. Val, it was so obvious she like was the bad guy. We didn't get to know her that much, so I don't care about her apart from that. Joanne, pretty useless friend there. I hope she gets a more interesting role in the next books, but I think she's the header of the story. A reference again to the Crave series. David, he's alright. He's like any other head of an institute of the Shadowhunters books, but like here, the other, not like institute. And well, same personality and everything. Tink. Oh my gosh, I love Tink. He's funny, he's relatable, he's the only character that did not annoy me. He's fantastic, and the war paint on his face, I actually laughed. It was so good. I think Tink is the only good thing and like the only thing I liked about this book. I will give this book a 2 out of 5 stars. I hope the next 2 are better. And well, this episode has finally come to an end. Do not forget to please rate, share, and subscribe to my podcast if you are enjoying it. It will really help me out to reach more young adult bookworms. You can follow me on Instagram at Your Favorite Young Adult Bookworm, just like the title of this show. I post there some amazing memes and quotes from the books featured here. I will see you next week with a retelling of A Den of Vipers by K.A. Knight. Thank you for listening. This is Anna, and I'll see you next week. Goodbye now.